Let's just hope this file was saved. I hope we got the fucker off.
Yeah. That was great. Fuck off.
Let's see
My
here.
man wasn't taking no shit. He's like, you know what? He's like, you like the fourth person in a row to cuss him out. He's like, you know what, man? Fuck these. Tired of this shit.
Wow. Wait, let's see here. Oh, I did get it.
You got it?
Yep. Oh, what a show.
Oh, what a show.
You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. Am I really feeling the burn? Vandenberg, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I am doing good, Marcus. How was your week? How was your Super Tuesday? I don't know if it was Super Tuesday out in L.A.
Not yet. We're not until June, and at that point, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So, you know, they say go out and rock the vote, but, you know, really, it's going to be Hillary versus... looking like Donald Trump.
Yeah, Hillary versus Trump, which is, it's wonderful for people that need content and talk shows
and laughs.
Comedy shows, yeah. But in terms of actually running the country, it's not good. So for everybody that was bemoaning and decrying the death of America under President Obama, just wait till your man Donald Trump gets in.
I don't want to talk politics too much, but... there's no way he wins, right?
You would think. One would think that sooner or later, people are going to come to their senses. And I'm not saying that just because he's Republican. Like, if Donald Trump were running on the Democratic side, I'd be saying the same thing. Like, no. Like, this is not the guy. Come on. Come on, people. Like, we as a country, I believe we have to be smarter than that market.
Well, you saw Mitt Romney today basically come out and say, dude, like, you can't vote for Trump. He's not the answer for us. There's no way he's going to get the support of the rest of the Republicans. I mean, no matter how much they hate black people and women. I mean, come on.
I'm looking because, you know, I look at all sides. And so I just want the two best candidates from each side to come forth. So like, I'm actually pulling for your man, Rubio. But it doesn't look like he's going to get anything done. And so it's like Trump and Cruz. And it's like, neither one of those looks appealing.
Yeah, just out of all the Republicans, if you had to pick one, would it be Rubio?
I think Rubio, maybe Kasich.
Well, I guess the ones who actually have a legit shot. But yeah. It would just be Cruz, Rubio, and
your
Trump.
Boy Dr. Ben is done.
Dr. Ben is shutting it down.
Yeah, Kasich is just kind of like, Kasich need to go. Like, come on, man. You just waste your own money at this point. Yeah, it's Rubio, Trump, or Cruz. And out of those three, I think Rubio's probably the most level-headed.
I mean, it'd be good to have a Hispanic president. But I mean, better than Trump.
Like, at this point, almost anybody would be better than Trump. I would be down for another 4 years of George W. Bush over Donald Trump. Because at least we know what he gonna do.
And he was funny.
Yeah, with Donald Trump, ain't no telling what Trump might do.
No laughing matter with Trump. But he is a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That to me would be the only benefit of a Trump presidency, the wrestling connection, because, you know, Vince McMahon would get a cabinet position, maybe Hulk Hogan.
Hogan would for sure. He's him and the KKK. David Duke.
Yeah, like, I thought we were done with David Duke, like, by 95, 96.
Don't call it a comeback. Did you hear about the protest out here in Anaheim?
No.
There was a KKK protest last Saturday in Anaheim, and...
Who are they protesting?
I mean, not a protest, like a rally. I'm sorry. And everyone knew it was happening.
Again, why are they rallying?
In Anaheim, if you're not familiar with Southern California, Anaheim is Disneyland, basically.
Yeah.
It's Orange County. Orange County, parts of Orange County is, I would say, not the most welcoming to minorities, but Anaheim doesn't really fit that bill because it's pretty much Disneyland. But they had this.
Then again, Marcus, your boy Walt Disney had some ideas back in the day.
Yeah, well, rest his soul. Rest in peace, Walt.
He's not dead, Marcus. He's just cryogenically frozen, waiting for a time when he can be cured. A time where there are no people of certain descents, if you will.
Don't slander my happy place, please.
You said it's already bad enough they got that damn Cosby statue.
They took it down, man. The cross is down.
So they had a KKK rally in Anaheim.
And three people were stabbed. They were stabbing people. They had just like these flags, and they were stabbing people with the end of the flags.
Wow.
And of course, it was black people who went out to sort of, you know, protest this rally going on. And of course, the cops weren't prepared for this. The cops weren't there on site ahead of time. And
which stupid.
You're stupid. So that ugly. And I'm just like, 2016, and the KKK is still. I mean, if you said, hey, the KKK was having a rally in Alabama, it'd be like, cool. I understand.
Cool.
Southern California.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, I was like, Southern California. I'm like, I don't know about this. Doesn't seem right.
Yeah, like you would think with as many black folks and Latinos that are out there,
like that Asians, wouldn't be, just anyone non-white, it's just bad idea.
stay classy, Anaheim.
Yeah.
You know, good thing though, Marcus, you know, even though there was a rally out there in your neck of the woods, according to Stephen A. Smith, racism is over, everybody.
Yeah, let's discuss Stephen A. real quick. Let me find this quote.
Racism is over. What Obama started, Stephen A. Smith has finished.
A little segment four and segment one for you. So Stephen A. Smith was on the Black History Month speaker circuit, and he spoke at the University of South Alabama, and he gave a lecture titled "The Legacy, History, and Impact of the African American Athlete" on this past Monday. And he said, quote...
He got it kind of close, didn't he?
He waited on that Donald Trump March is Black History Month type deal.
He was waiting to hold out to see if Stacey Dash was going to come co-headline with him.
Yeah, well, Stacey would have done better than this, I think. He said, quote, racism doesn't exist. Obviously, I'm lying. Of course it exists, but not for you, he reportedly told students. See... You don't have to go to the back of the bus. You're not denied the opportunity to eat at restaurants or to enter nightclubs or to patronize businesses. You have the right to vote. You're not being lynched. You're not being hung. And then said Mr. Smith went on to acknowledge that older black students may have experienced racism. Quote, you're older, you know, I'm not talking about you, but youngsters, you need to understand that white folks got problems, too. Some of them can't pay their bills, he said, CBS reported. Some of them are struggling. Some of them are being denied opportunities. And you need to understand that, because when people are going through their own problems, they are not going to lament what your trials and tribulations are.
First of all, shout out to Stephen A. Smith. Before I criticize him, I'll give him some praise for bringing Dusty Rhodes back in 2016.
And the fact that he got paid for the speech.
It's hard times. Dude, these white kids can't buy their food. They can't pay their wages.
The struggle is real.
This is just, come on. Like, Stephen A., like, we know Marcus. We might not agree with everything Stephen A. Smith writes or Stephen A. Smith says, but we know Stephen A. Smith is not an idiot.
Stephen A. is calling you right now.
He's like, Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's see. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm also very well, thank you. Actually, sir, the reason of my call today, sir, past few days ago, we have kept getting a warning report, the computer which you are using, we have the information, someone trying to hack your computer. That's why today we are giving you a call, okay?
Okay, sure, that's bullshit, but whatever.
Fuck off.
Whoa!
You picked the wrong one today, sucker. Like, you know, I'm tired of these black people. Real quick, Marcus, getting back to Stephen A. In terms of what he said, I think that maybe what he was trying to say, because like I said, man, we may disagree with Stephen A. Smith, but he's not an idiot.
Yeah.
So I think what he might have been trying to say, but he didn't articulate it in quite the same way, is that while racism still exists, it's not as blatant and in your face as it was in our parents' days and our parents' parents' days, but it's still there. But I think the way he framed it, like, these kids don't have any problems, and if they are complaining about injustices on campus, then they're whining about it. It just is a bad look from somebody in his position that should know better.
How do you prefer your racism? Do you prefer it hidden or up front in your face?
That's a good question, because, you know, while I would, like, part of me wants racism out front, out in the open. That's why I like living in the South, because, you know, people are kind of upfront with these things down here. But at the same time, I don't want to go back, like I don't want to go back to the lynching days. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
Like so if the question is, would I rather be passed over for a job by some white man smiling in my face while underneath his breath he's sounding like the dude that just called you? Fuck off. Or would I like to be dragged behind a truck by somebody that is upfront with their racism? I'll take the subtle racism all day, every day.
Yeah. I feel like, especially in California, it's a lot more hidden. You're not going to see outside of the rally. In Anaheim, you're going to see a lot of just blatant in your face.
It's like Chris Rock's line from the Oscars during his monologue, which I thought was really great. He was like, you know what? These are the nicest white people in Hollywood, and they still racist, but it's not that straight up racism. It's like sorority racism. It's like, Rhonda's cool, but she's not a Kappa.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where it is. And so, to Stephen A.'s point, it's like, yeah, you know, white kids have it tough, Latino kids have it tough. Like, everybody's got it tough in one way, shape, or form. And there are different advantages and privileges that come with gender and race and religion and things of that nature. But to say that these kids don't have problems or they're not dealing with racism, even if it's subtle racism or subtle prejudice, that's just silly. And to quote Stephen A., that's asinine, asinine, asinine. So, this is already one of the most memorable shows we've ever done, Marcus.
This will be in the year-end show.
Yeah, this will be. This will be. I wonder if you have to call your boy back to get permission.
Nah, it's all right.
Like, hey, buddy, can we put you in the show? Fuck off. I'm gonna have to cut that up and use that as a drop now.
Yeah.
You just made yourself famous, Mr. Telemarketing Scam Man. Let's talk about happier subjects, Marcus, because I noticed a post on your Facebook from this past weekend that brought many questions to my mind. And so I said, you know what, Marcus, we need to bring back the Hockey Negro segment, because this question about your Facebook post deals with the world of the NHL. So let's bring it back for this week. A little segment we like to call Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. Well, somebody hit Marcus's music.
It's time for the segment that's cooler than a polar bear's toenails.
Here's the puck to Seth Jones. Leg one for Jones. Cutting it, but he scores! Seth Jones scores on the feed out of the left wing corner.
It's Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
It's back. It's not even April yet.
Yeah, we're a little ahead of schedule.
Yeah, we are. So this mysterious photo. Saturday, drove back from Vegas when I went to the Ring of Honor show Friday night and got back. Two parts. One, I was going to check out a friend of mine who had a release party, and then after that, went down to Staples Center, and my sister-in-law, her college, Pepperdine University, was doing an alumni event, and the alumni event was at the LA Kings game, and as part of the event, they allowed the people taking part to go down to center ice before the game and to shoot pucks on the ice. So I didn't go to Pepperdine, but I do like hockey. So I was all in for that. And I had a chance to shoot on the ice at Staples Center. And I didn't shoot too well.
So how were you allowed to bypass the explicit rules of this participation by getting down on the ice, Marcus? Did you just ignore the rules and just think that you could be grandfathered in?
What rules are that?
You didn't go to Pepperdine.
I was open to anyone who knew someone at Pepperdine.
So, anybody off the street that knew somebody that went to Pepperdine?
Pretty much, yeah. She bought the tickets. Yeah, so...
Were you guys the only people of color on the ice?
Us and the black pots. Do the pots count? They're black. Yes, we're the only people of color in the group. However, we're all, thanks to my... It's sense of closet of hockey jerseys. We all had Kings jerseys on, so we fit in well.
You know how to assimilate.
Yes, we sort of blended in, and people were nice. And yeah, that was my first time.
I'm surprised people didn't try to come up to you for autographs. Like, oh my God, Becky, I didn't know El DeBarge was a Kings fan.
I know. No.
And we loved you on that Kanye record.
Nobody mistaken me for a hockey player either. Or an NBA player or anything else like that. So, yeah, I had a chance to go down to center ice and take a picture. And big Kings fan. I haven't been to a Kings home game since 2014, I think. About 2 years now.
Okay.
The last two games I went to, one was in Toronto, and the other was the Stadium Series game last year.
Yeah.
So it's been a while since I've actually been to Staples Center for a game. So that part was good, and Kings won, and... started watching a little more hockey now. So I'm trying to get ready for the playoffs.
Okay. So that's a good story. Because, like I said, I saw the picture and I was like, what is his black ass doing on that black ice? Like, what? And they had the red carpet out for you and everything?
I should have wrote black ice as my caption instead of center ice. But
like, I didn't see, because I didn't know it was a Pepperdine thing. I was just like,
how did he get down there? Yeah.
Yeah, why is Marcus on the... Because I didn't know if it was a Yahoo thing or if it... for what? I was like, the first thing I thought of was, did NABJ do something at the Kings game? Are they doing outreach?
No outreach.
Like, we gonna cross the fence. If you won't come to us, we'll come to you.
Yeah, no. Kings had one black guy for a long time, Wayne Simmons. Who's now in Philadelphia?
I remember Wayne. Yeah,
there's no one currently on the roster that would be an African American. That's okay though. They tried.
Okay, so I'm not keeping up with hockey. How are the Kings doing this year?
Kings are first in the division. Anaheim is right behind them now after a slow start. So they bounced back from last season. They'll be in the playoffs. And if I were to bet, I would say the Western Conference Finals would be Chicago and the Kings again.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we'll have to talk about that and have more hockey minutes as we get closer to the playoffs. But this was just like a little sneak preview.
Just a little tease to hold you over.
Because we probably won't talk hockey again for another month or so.
Months being kind, I would say maybe 2 months. Maybe after the first round.
Maybe after the NBA Finals. We gotta get the important stuff out of the way first.
Yeah.
So that was another installment of Marcus's Hockey Minute, aka Ask a Hockey Negro. Well done, Marcus.
Thank you.
I think before we get out of here, we're gonna end on some conflict because we started on some unexpected conflict between you and Mr. Telephone Man. And I think we found our song to go out with.
Yep.
A little Bobby Brown, Mr. Telephone Man, new edition. But, you know, we started off with some conflict. We're going to end with some conflict. And it's Hall of Fame level conflict, Brother Marcus.
Yeah, so.
And by the way, real quick, before you get into the story, I want to put out a disclaimer.
Please do.
Opinions that are about to be stated are Marcus Vandenberg.
Oh, come on.
Marcus Vandenberg.
Oh, alone. What?
So if anybody in New Jersey or that region has issues with the comments that are about to be said, blame Marcus.
Or Alfred Kenawa.
Or Alfred. Yeah, we should bring back Alfred's picture for the show logo just for 1 week,
yeah.
Just in case anybody has issue with this next discussion topic.
So someone by the name of Marvin Harrison?
Have you heard of him? Never heard of him.
No? So this guy claims he was a wide receiver in the NFL, on the Colts at that. He's a Hall of Famer, actually. I didn't know that either. So this guy named Marvin went after a guy that we've heard of before, Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of T.O. Yeah. And this Marvin fellow said basically to fuck off to T.O., in response to T.O.'s sort of complaining about his Hall of Fame snub, the exact quote from this guy I never heard of before, quote, the person who was supposed to get in got in, and that was me. If he didn't get in, that's his problem. He didn't talk all that bullshit like he's been doing. That's on him, but I'm in. My jacket is gold. I will look in the rear view for nobody. So he can get his ass, and whenever he gets in, if he gets in. If he doesn't get in, too bad. The hell with him. Wow. This Marvin guy's pretty angry.
Yeah, it's shots fired, and no, that is not anything else.
That's only accusations, Nate.
I'm just looking up, like, apparently there is a record of this gentleman that I've never heard of on NFL stats, and I'm looking at his stats, and yes, he, by all measures, he is a Hall of Famer.
Huh.
About 128 touchdowns.
Wow.
Almost 15,000 yards. Over 1,000 receptions. Yeah, like, this dude's a Hall of Famer. Whoever he is.
Man, I wish I had a chance to watch him when he played.
Yeah. But like, I don't even want to talk about this guy anymore, just because I don't know enough about him to really form an intelligent point of view. But let's talk about T.O., Marcus, because there was a lot of discussion when T.O. was not elected on this go-round. What do you make of that? Because I think anybody with a brain can acknowledge that T.O. has the numbers to be a Hall of Famer. And so then after that, I guess what it comes down to is A, who are the people being considered around him and ahead of him? And B, what prejudices the judges brought into that room, whether it was his off-the-field demeanor or, quote-unquote, him messing up locker rooms and things of that nature. Like, what do you make of T.O. and his candidacy for the NFL Hall of Fame?
Oh, I think he has the numbers. It's very much like Chris Carter, who also had the numbers. But
and Chris Carter had to wait, too, though.
Yeah, Chris Carter had to wait. And part of that was because people thought Chris Carter had his attitude issue when he was, you know, in the league. And T.O., he made the diva wide receiver famous, essentially. He was the first one of that size in terms of just having his reputation of being a diva. And I think, you know, people are petty. Writers are petty. And it's he'll get in, trust me, he'll get in eventually. But in a league where it's not like baseball where it's tough to get people in first ballot, football is a lot easier to do so.
Yeah.
So he'll just have to wait. I mean, it might be next year for all we know. But he's got the numbers.
And the thing is, football, it's easier to get in on the first ballot than baseball, but it's also depends on your position, because wide receiver is one of those positions where we've seen, whether it be Chris Carter, who took a while to get in, or Art Monk, who I think Art Monk had to wait something like 13 years.
Was that long? It was a long time.
It was a long time. I don't know the exact numbers, but Art Monk had to wait a long time. So, you know, when you've got kind of this logjam of guys, not only that were your contemporaries like this Marvin fella appears to be, but guys that played, you know, 5-10 years before you that are being considered. And you add on top of that, you probably got a lot of people in that room that have personal prejudices against Terrell Owens. Like, yeah, I could see why he might have to wait. And that's no slight on him as a player, though, you know, because he's a Hall of Famer. Anybody that says T.O. is not a Hall of Famer either is lying to you, or they are just blinded by their own prejudice against that man. But he's going to be a Hall of Famer, just not this year.
And that Marvin guy, he had to wait 3 seasons before he got in. So
that's probably because people didn't know about him. Like, I'm just hearing about this guy for the first time.
What a career! I mean,
like, how do you go that high and have such a career under the radar? It's crazy.
I don't know. I mean,
so almost like somebody should put an APB out for that guy.
A warrant. Someone should arrest him
for being so inconspicuous.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. Yeah, that's hard to do. But yeah, I hope T.O. gets in. And I'll tell you what, I bet you he's going to have the best speech that year.
T.O.?
Whatever year T.O. gets in, he's going to have the best speech at the Hall of Fame.
He'll cry too.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only because he's going to be funny, but we know T.O. is a sensitive dude. He's going to get up and start crying, talking about his grandmama. And he's going to apologize. I'm sorry, Jeff Garcia, for saying you was gay that one time.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. Let's not forget. Like, I love T.O. Like, I think T.O. is one of the most entertaining players in the history of the NFL. But let's not forget. Like, dude, as a teammate, not always the best teammate.
No. Great individual player.
Yes.
Not a good teammate.
Like, what do you think about Jeff Garcia? Is he gay, Terrell? If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, like, damn it, T.O.
T.O. a great bowler, by the way.
I did not know that. I knew he was a good basketball player. I didn't know he was a great bowler.
Yeah, when I interned for ESPN years and years ago, during the ESPYs one year, and night before the ESPYs, they had like this fundraiser bowling event.
Okay.
And T.O. was one of the celebrity participants, and dude is good. He brings his own ball. He's got his own bag. He's legit.
Okay, T.O.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, one of my favorite moments, and it's favorite now, and I can kind of chuckle at it because it wasn't serious, but at the time we thought it might have been serious, was when people thought that he had tried to kill himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With the black publicist that has never been heard from again. Like, Terrell has over 50 million reasons to want to be alive.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, damn it, T.O. His reality show wasn't bad either, though. Like, I'm not one for athlete reality shows, but his reality show was decent.
Was it better than Deion Sanders?
Oh, yeah, way better. Because with Deion, I never felt that Deion was, like, we were seeing his family, but I don't think we ever got real moments with Deion.
Uh-huh.
But with T.O., like, there was a show, I think, where he went back to his hometown and met his dad. And, like, him and his dad hadn't spoke for years, and he had gone over to his grandma's house. And, like, there were real moments with T.O. So I was like, you know what? I'm not mad at you, T.O.
That's not a bad hook.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He's very,
he's very complex.
Yeah, very complex. Like, there's a lot of sides to T.O. Like, there's the side that is generous and caring, and then there's a side that'll tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
So, on that note, I think we're going to call it a segment, the A-Block. One of the most entertaining A-Blocks in recent memory.
Yes.
But coming up next, Marcus, we're going to continue on the road to WrestleMania, bringing in friends of the program from the Fight Network up in Toronto, Canada, John Pollock and Wei Ting. And we're going to get their thoughts on their anticipation level for the biggest show on the wrestling calendar. So I'm going to get ready for John and Wei. I'm going to let you take care of whatever problems are going on with your computer. And we can meet back up in the next segment.
All right.
All right. So
wait a second. Yeah, I have to apologize in advance, people, for this next segment. I hope you like... What's the word I'm looking for, Nate, to describe this net sediment?
I mean, I guess you could say there was some static between us.
Listen, we call it international. And it's a long way to Canada, and sometimes when you call Canada, there are some issues.
Yeah,
but and some angry Canadians on the other end. Yeah. So.
It's all good, though. It's all low.
Yeah.
But I think if you had checked your computer when that nice Middle Eastern man had told you to, we probably wouldn't have had those issues.
Yeah, you could have solved them for me.
But now you had to insult the man. Yeah. He's like, you know what, buddy? I got two words for you. And on that note, keep it locked right here because we got more Kings of Sport right after this.
In the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I dialed the right number, but I still couldn't get through. Can you just check the line just one more time if you can? I'm pretty sure my phone can be answered by no man.
And now, it's time to get you caught up on the week's biggest stories from the world of professional wrestling. It's the Ringside Wrap on the Kings of Sport.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, and if you're hearing that music, then you know what it means. The Ringside Wrap, once again, our weekly look at the world of pro wrestling, and we are on the road to WrestleMania. Last week, we kicked off the tour with Brian Mann, and I think this week, Marcus, we're going to be as good, if not better. There's this crazy hashtag going around Twitter right now called White People Invited to the Cookout, because Black Twitter has no chill, no filter whatsoever. And I think, Marcus, we're going to bring two people on. One of them is a white person that is always invited to the Kings of Sport cookout. And the other guy is an Asian man who not only has an invitation to the cookout, but he is a VIP from the Fight Network and live audio wrestling up in Toronto, Canada. John Pollock and Wei Ting. What's going on, brothers?
Well, it's a pleasure. White guy and the Asian guy are here.
So stereotypical, Nate, man.
Hey, man, I had to work the cookout hashtag in somewhere because Henry sent it to us on Twitter, and we love Brother Henry. But we got too much stuff to talk about in segment four, so that was my way of working things in. You know, it's much like the Shane McMahon story. If you got a good idea, sometimes it doesn't matter if you have a sensical, logical story around it.
What's up, boy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Sorry, you're cutting it a little out there.
No, that wasn't really a question, so none of us knew what to do with that one, Nate. We'll let's get into
direct. That was the appropriate response. Wait, don't
worry. I thought Marcus was going to pick up the ball he is.
John, Nate, you should know better. It's been 3 years now. That was the right response.
We were simply all reacting to Nate's statement. And now Marcus is going to dive into the question portion that Way and I will so expertly respond to.
John and Way, so first off, thank you for doing the Lord's work for watching Raw every week. And we're now 2 weeks after the road to WrestleMania. What are your overall thoughts about Mania?
Well, I think that it's certainly a positive or negative response. There's certainly that reaction that they've generated. I don't think anyone's looking at this as some kind of ho-hum show, at least thus far. I think people are intrigued to see where they're going with The Undertaker and Shane McMahon, which has gotten the lion's share of the focus and I think interest thus far going into the show. And I think beyond that, it's kind of figuring out where a lot of the other loose pieces are going to end up in on this card, whether it be AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens. I think those are all kind of up in the air at this point that has everyone kind of matchmaking in their head. But you know what the quote-unquote money matches are at this point. And with 4 weeks to go, I think that they've at least – I think Shane McMahon has at least piqued curiosity, and it's getting a response from their audience.
Well, you mentioned those money matches, John, and right now, as of this recording, the matches that we have signed are Triple H, Roman Reigns for the title, Undertaker, Shane McMahon in the Hell in a Cell, and Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar in a no-holds-barred street fight, which I'm hoping we get a run-in from Tiny Lester. Do any of those matches light your world on fire? Because outside of the curiosity of Taker McMahon, none of these matches really are doing a whole lot for me.
I think Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose is going to be a very good match. And I think that Undertaker and Shane McMahon is going to be laid out in such a way that it will get over to this crowd, because I think you have the elements of nostalgia in Shane McMahon, the Undertaker at WrestleMania. They're going to be given probably every shortcut under the sun to have as good a match as possible inside that Hell in a Cell. And then Hunter and Roman Reigns, I mean, there's no way around saying this is going to be a challenge on both, because presumably they're following all of this, a Hell in a Cell and a street fight. And thus far, 4 weeks out, you can certainly see the challenges ahead for them. So I think that it's the story that they have been committed to since last November. So they're playing that out, but there's no way of saying that this has been a home run thus far. I think that they really have their work cut out for them, I think, in terms of positioning Roman Reigns as your top babyface going into this show. And it's been a struggle thus far. So I don't think this is by any means like this this home run lineup at this point in time. But the possibilities of what come out of these matches. Where is Dean Ambrose figured in after WrestleMania? If Shane wins this match, how does that change up what is a very stagnant presentation for a lot of people on Raw? So I think that's where you're gaining the interest. It's more the storyline implications than the straight up matches.
You mentioned some of the challenges with this Mania card. With Roman Reigns in particular, could you see a heel turn here in Mania?
It just seems like there's so many different options that you get out of a heel Roman do as a babyface version, and that it's going to be such a struggle to get this Roman Reigns babyface character across, which a strong and successful heel run, you'll get that babyface run. It's just not going to be today. So I think to answer your question, yes, I think that there would be a lot of arguments in favor of going that way.
Now, Way, one of the big things about WrestleMania every year is, regardless of how fans feel about the card coming into the show, about a week out, there's that excitement because, you know, the brand still carries a lot of weight, still carries a lot of clout. At this point in the game, though, where's your excitement level when it comes to anticipating WrestleMania?
I'm excited. It's been a weird year for the company because of so many last minute changes, so many injuries, and so many of the top stars not actually being active. So somehow they're left with Roman Reigns versus Triple H, which is probably not their first choice, but nonetheless, it seems to be the match that they put most of the build, and thus you're kind of left with like a weird scraps, you know, a bunch of matches that are kind of just made from scraps. I mean, the Brock Lesnar program was not even decided until this past month, and the whole Undertaker program was not decided until this past month. So I think, considering the scope of the venue that they have set, and you know, just what the expectations are traditionally for WrestleMania, it's not going to be a greatly anticipated WrestleMania, but I'm always just interested to see, you know, how they book themselves out of the corners that they find themselves in each year.
For you two personally, what's it going to be like watching WrestleMania at home compared to going live in person?
I actually look forward to watching it at home rather than in person. I mean, because in the years that we, and you know this, Mark, being there in the press boxes, especially in last year at these football stadiums, you're kind of just left inside basically a glass box where you don't get to hear the crowd. The view is kind of, and in the case of last year, I mean, we had the commentary feed in the press box, but it was delayed. It made for a bit of a, you know, a weird dynamic. So I actually look forward to, you know, sitting at home or at least joining John, Dan, and Jay at the Law to watch a show and getting to sleep in my own bed at night.
Well, John, one of the biggest stories this year when it comes to the WWE has been the introduction of AJ Styles. While I wouldn't say it's been the best introduction to AJ, I also don't think it's been that bad. Like, I had my fears that they were just going to turn him into the redneck Evan Bourne, but he has far exceeded my expectations. So what's your take on how they've done so far with AJ Styles? And
well, I think to put it into sports terms, Nate, it's been a solid ground rule double. I think that AJ... I think everybody had either wild expectations of what he would be doing, or they were extremely pessimistic of what the WWE would do with AJ Styles. And I don't think either camp would be correct at this point in time. I've really enjoyed the Jericho feud.
He was never going to be figured into one of the main matches at WrestleMania. So I can see fans and critics being kind of incorrect at this point in terms of their expectation levels being met. So I think everyone is just anticipating what is the next step beyond the Jericho affiliation and feud and where this guy is going to settle in, because we've seen what his strengths are and how the WWE capitalizes on those.
Wanted to apologize for the shitty Skype connection. I just blame Nate for this. But before we wrap it up, you got to talk a little baseball.
I would blame Nate as well.
Yes, thank you. I'm at work. I have Yahoo Internet powering me through this interview. I blame Nate. Baseball.
Well, I mean, we're also here up in Canada, and we have bad technology here. We're still in the dial-up here.
Oh, no. Come on, Canada. The Toronto Blue Jays. Opening day is about a month away. I know you guys jumped on the bandwagon last year. What are your thoughts for the season?
Dude, I've never been part of something more painful than this. Oh. Like, I can't.
Oh, man. John's blowing up. It's almost over, John. Don't worry.
Oh, this is wonderful. This is live radio.
Guys, this is a mess. I'm sorry. Yes. We can't hear you, and you can't hear us. I mean, do you want to continue? Like,
we're talking through tin cans.
Yeah, the question I was asking you was about the Blue Jays. What are your thoughts about this season?
Reasonably high, I think, for most people. I mean, we've lost David Price, but beyond that, I think this is still a very strong team. They've added, what's his name, JP Happ. So
I think this is a very solid team that we've retained from last season.
Real quick before the Skype connection dies almost completely, a big event that happens before WrestleMania is what are your quick picks on that fight, on those fights, John?
I've got Conor McGregor, and I'm picking Holly Holm. I just think when you look at all the different aspects of these two, it very much does favor Holly Holm's style.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to that fight, my man. And I feel like we just went five rounds of Skype. Like, I feel like Kimbo at the end of that Dada 5000 fight.
Well, I think we're both knocked out on this end.
It's always good to catch up with you guys. If you folks out there want to hear any of the many volumes and hours of audio content that they produce, head on over to liveaudiowrestling.com or check them out on Twitter at Law Radio. John Way, it's always a pleasure talking to you guys. And I hope you stick around and listen to the rest of the show, because we're going to talk about maybe the biggest fight brewing up for the second half of 2016, Cat Williams versus Kevin Hart.
Guys, thanks for having us on. And always remember, in the future, we're always a phone call away.
There you go.
More Kings of Sports right after this.
Something new, no. Haters thinking fuck this dude. But I'm sounding kinda nice, so I really think they don't know what to do. Jay Mills, we call the name. All you other niggas sound all the same. Prop machine, you know we use Saint Paul this game. Kobe from the Lakers, I be killing shit. I was making hits as a kid, I'm still legit. Doing my thing, nigga, what's wrong with you, mad? Cause I made a jam from a pop song. Y'all can just wait here while this dude is getting paper. See you later.
Got an opinion you want to share with the Kings? Well, have your say in one of three different ways. Visit facebook.com/thekingsofsport. Email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com and hit us up at CosPod on Twitter.
I'm expressing with my full capabilities, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause some don't agree with how I do this. I get straight and meditate like a Buddhist. I'm dropping flavor.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, Marcus and Nate, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to let you guys know about the good people at High Voltage Radio. Now, highvoltageradio.com is where you can find the internet's craziest selection of podcasts for your listening pleasure. I'm talking about shows like The Pittsburgh Nerd, Z-Pac Nation, The Ebony and Ivory Cast, The Gravy Age, Attack of the Fangirls, Axology featuring friends of the program, Hat Club Andy, and of course, the award-winning Mr. Throwback Thursday featuring frenemies of the program, and never had they been more frenemies than today, Marcus, with some of the stuff that they had tweeted to us. Frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie from Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Stop talking reckless on Twitter, guys.
Like, we can't save you when the reckoning happens.
Yeah, when Bomani finds out, you're on your own.
Like, you don't want it. We trying to help you, man.
Yep.
And if you get jammed up, don't mention my
name. Don't mention keep my name out of the mentions, man. Don't do it.
So if you want to hear Mr. Throwback Thursday before Bomani ethers them, check them out on the High Voltage Radio Network. HighVoltageRadio.com is where you can go to find those shows and so much more. So High Voltage Radio, check them out and tell them the King sent you. Well, it is time for segment 4, Marcus. And, you know, coming off of last segment, the Road to WrestleMania ringside rap with John and Way, I don't think we're really excited about any of the announced matches for WrestleMania, but there is a matchup that I'm really excited about in the world of black comedy, Marcus. And to me, this could be the main event of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bored with Triple H and Roman Reigns, this is the feud for you. Kevin Hart, Cat Williams.
Bam! I'm sold.
Both men standing under, what, 5'5"?
Yeah, this is a cruiserweight battle, but with two heavyweight mouths.
Yes. The Adrian Broner of mouths in the comedy world.
And now this, for those that are like, Kevin Hart and Cat Williams, what's going on there? Like, before we even get into the current stuff that has just taken place over the past couple of days and weeks, this is something that has long been, I'd say, a one-sided feud, Marcus, or a one-sided beef from the Cat Williams side, who felt or has felt like Kevin Hart kind of stole his spot when Cat Williams had some issues a couple years ago and Kevin Hart kind of became the hot black comic in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it always kind of goes in cycles in comedy, but especially when you're talking about black comedy. Like, we can't have more than one black dude in Hollywood at a time.
No, and we saw that at the Academy Awards on Sunday, sort of Chris Rock making note of the fact that Kevin Hart is the man at the moment.
Yeah, like, for a time it was Chris Rock. For a time it was Dave Chappelle. Then Cat Williams had a brief cup of coffee.
Very brief.
Mike Epps was up there for a little bit. But now Kevin Hart, for the last 2 or 3 years, Kevin Hart's been running the black comedy game.
I mean, I guess Eddie Murphy was what, the first one.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy.
Maybe Richard Pryor.
Cosby Murphy. After Eddie Murphy, I don't know who.
Martin,
how far you got to go?
Yeah,
Martin. So yeah, you're probably a good 5 or 10 years between Eddie and Martin. And then after Martin, you probably go. I'd say the Kings of Comedy as a group, Cedric and
Bernie. Bernie, yeah.
Particularly Bernie, DL. And Steve Harvey, like, the Kings of Comedy had a little bit of a run. Then Chappelle came in. And then after Chappelle, we got Cat Williams, Mike Epps, and now Kevin Hart. That's your lineage of black comedy, at least in terms of Hollywood success.
It's a short list. No pun intended.
Not a long list. But, so Cat Williams was feeling some type of way about Kevin Hart kind of taking his spot, at least in Cat Williams' eyes. And so he's been beefing back and forth with Kevin Hart for years and telling him, you know, you're not that funny. And the only reason you're funny is because you got white people writing for you and you stole my spot. And I'm the real king of underground comedy, which I didn't even know was a title that you wanted to have. But it's come to a head this week. And I think, Marcus, before we even get into it, we got to let the people hear what Cat Williams had to say. Because this, to me, is a money promo if there ever was one.
Yeah, listen up, wrestlers.
You could say this is a money mic promo.
Yeah.
So we'll let you hear Cat Williams and his thoughts about Kevin Hart, and we'll come back on the other side.
See, I seen your stuff on social media. Boy, I know you what you do, but you do it for play. If you do it for real, here it is, Kevin. I got a show at your hometown in Philly. I'm gonna take my special there. On that stage, we can put whatever you want. A full court basketball court, a boxing ring, 2 microphones for a rap cipher, or you can get your ass dusted in comedy on that stage. But it's $1 million up for each one. That's $5 million, Mr. 28 million in Forbes. I'll be bringing mine in cash, Mitch. Bring yours however you want. And since you're not a puppet, don't bring no white people with you then. That's a $5 million bet individually. You can take it all, or you can take it part and parcel. This is the new movement. Hey, and tell them plastic cup boys, we make enough money to drink out of real glassware.
So there you have it, Marcus. What do you make of Brother Williams' promo there?
Didn't stumble, to the point, direct, had some passion.
Yes, lots of passion.
He had a nice little send-off just when you thought he was done. He must be a wrestling fan.
He's got to be. Like, that was a wrestling promo. Because if you think about it, break it down. He established who he was. Mm-hmm. He established the person he was feuding with.
The location of the feud.
He put the location of the feud, the stipulations. We could do it in a basketball court. We could do it in a rap battle. Or we could do it in some straight-up comedy. So we all already got three stages of hell.
The prize.
He put up the stakes.
Yep.
I'll bring my money in cash. And then, you know, he closed everything out by not only going at Kevin Hart, but going at Kevin Hart's stable. Like, that, paper cup boys, we drink out of real glasses around here, niggas. Which is just a great way to end a interview.
All in about a minute. I mean,
yeah, wasn't too long.
Sign this man up for NXT.
Hell of a promo. I know the WWE doesn't do managers besides Paul Heyman anymore, but Cat Williams would make a hell of a manager. Like, I think he should be Roman Reigns' manager heading to WrestleMania. Like, we could do this at Cowboy Stadium, or I could put a basketball court in the middle and we see who's the champ now, Triple H.
Roman. I mean, that it's sad that my first thought was, damn, Roman can't pull that off.
Roman couldn't pull off the Cat Williams promo?
No.
No, well, to be fair, though, I don't know how many people on the roster could cut a promo as good as Cat.
That too. That's a problem.
Like, Cat Williams cut a comedian off the street cut a better promo than 90% of the WWE roster.
Oh man.
Oh man. So what do you make all this? Because there are some other things that popped up in Cat Williams' life that we'll talk about in a second, Marcus. But just going off of this, off of. This clip that was posted on the internet with Cat challenging Kevin Hart. What did you make of all this?
I mean, does Kevin ever respond to him? Or is he just going away?
Well, see, that's the thing. Kevin, he'll respond like in a passive aggressive way. Like, oh, he's like, you know, I love Cat. You know, we all just, there's enough food out here for everybody to eat.
So he's like, never really like gone after him.
No, he does. He never really comes back at him like, with the same force. Like, it's always either he ignores it or he deflects it, or he's like, you know, there's enough room for me and Cat in this comedy world.
So that's even worse, because he's clearly trying to get a response out of Kevin Hart, and it hasn't worked yet, really.
No. Well, here's the other thing, though, because at first I thought this might be a work, because I don't know if you remember, I think it was last year, Kevin Hart and Mike Epps had a beef on Twitter.
Yeah.
But that turned out to be all, you know, kind of smoke and mirrors, because they ended up working together on some projects.
Sort of like Kanye and Taylor Swift.
Yes. And so, like, at first I thought, this man is just a work. You know, this Cat trying to, you know, stir up some stuff. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I don't think Cat Williams is the guy to, like, he might be the only person in the comedy game that actually believes what he says.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Cat. Something ain't right.
No, just in the way he's like, this is not, these ain't jokes. This is a movement right here. Like, oh, calm down, brother. Like, at the end of the day, it is just jokes, Cat.
Well, the jokes ended when he, has he gone to court yet?
Oh, Cat Williams. Now, I don't believe he's gone to court yet, but he has been accused for menacing, which is like, this is never a good description to have, but Joe Attorney has claimed that Cat Williams menaced 5 women the day before he was arrested for punching a store clerk. So he had not a good week, Cat. Not a good week, man. And this is the continuance of a pattern of strange behavior, because I don't know if you remember, I want to say it was about a year and a half ago, he was arrested in a Target for slapping one of the clerks at Target and then trying to escape on one of the Target store carts, like the little carts you can drive around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he slapped the dude and then escaped driving off on the cart. Like, while that is hilarious, it's also like, something ain't right with this dude.
Chad, something's wrong, Chad. This feels very much like Kanye. But Kanye doesn't get arrested, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kanye has, like, outbursts and rants, but it's never physical. It's never...
Well, except for that one time, the photographer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, paparazzi, I totally understand that, where he came from with that.
Yeah.
He's not...
Well, that's different.
Punching
like, yeah,
random employees in the face.
Right. It's like, yeah, Cat Williams, most of his violent incidents happens when he's a customer.
Yeah.
Like, that is terrible. Like, I don't know, Marcus, because what was your opinion of Cat Williams before all this? Like, maybe like 2 or 3, 4 years ago when he was at the height of Cat Williams. Like, what did you think of him as a comedian or as a figure in Hollywood?
I thought he was funny. I thought he actually had a little more range than Kevin Hart in terms of just who he was as a person. I feel like Kevin Hart, every movie, and maybe because Cat really wasn't overexposed in Hollywood.
Right.
I felt like when I saw Cat Williams, I wasn't getting necessarily the same character each time. But with Kevin Hart, it's, every movie, it's the same character for the most part.
Yeah, well, with Cat, with his movies, it seemed like Cat was never really the star of any
of
these movies.
Yeah, he was a accessory, which is great.
Yeah, like he would come in like on the Friday movie where he was Money Mike, or in First Sunday where he was the choir director, and he just have 10, 15 minutes out of the movie, and he shining those small roles. Whereas with Kevin, yeah, I think Kevin is like, and it's nothing against Kevin Hart. It's like, do it, man. If they're gonna keep putting these projects in front of you, get as much money as you can before your time runs out. But with Kevin, he has certainly been overexposed. And in terms of comedy, I like Kevin Hart. I think Kevin Hart's funny. But just strictly from a joke standpoint, like, Cat Williams' jokes are better than Kevin Hart's all day.
Yeah.
Like, just the way that he, especially that first special that where he really kind of got big off of the Pimp Chronicles. And just, talking about the weed dealers that try to hype up how much, weed you can have. And, man, this weed right here. It's called death. Like,
death.
I don't want to hit it and die. like just like some of the, between the way that he kind of acted out the scenes and just some of the interesting takes on stuff, like Cat Williams was really, really funny. And it was like, for a while, I was like, man, this dude is about to be the next Dave Chappelle. But then whether it was attitude.
You might have been right, because Chappelle had his moments where he was sort of.
But at least Chappelle, Chappelle got to a plateau first.
Yes, he did.
Whereas with Cat, it was like he cut it. I don't know if it was the industry or him or a combination of both. Like, he cut himself off at the knees before he even really got started.
And, I mean, Chappelle also reached a different level of fame. I mean,
yeah.
Chappelle, bigger than Kevin Hart, bigger than Cat Williams.
Yeah.
Up there with, like, a Chris Rock. I would say.
I was gonna say, in terms of black comics, is Chris Rock the most quote unquote normal out of all of them, out of any of them that we've seen in history?
Yeah.
Because Cosby wasn't who we thought we were. Richard Pryor, as much as I love Richard Pryor, he had his drug issues. Eddie Murphy has had some shady incidents in his past. Cat Williams is going crazy. Kevin Hart, we don't know anything about yet. Chappelle, we know that he had kind of his breakdown.
Yeah.
But in terms of being a big star for an extended period of time, Chris Rock's like the most well-adjusted black comedian.
Yeah, I mean, he got divorced, but hey, divorces happen. That's about it.
Yeah, like you never hear about Chris Rock in a drug den or
no.
Chris Rock getting drunk on planes, anything like that. Like He's the most, and that's why he's been allowed things like the Grammys. I mean, not the Grammys, the Oscars.
Yeah, they don't let any of us on stage.
Yeah, like for as much as I love Dave Chappelle. I think Dave Chappelle one of the funniest comedians ever. He ain't hosting no Oscars.
No.
You can't put that man out there.
Not even in his prime.
No, not right. Not even in his prime. But yeah, Cap, I'm like for real. I hope that Cat Williams can kind of get himself together, because I do think that there is room on the comedy stage for him and Kevin Hart. Like they're both funny, but they're just different types of funny, and they come at it from different ways. But I think Cat might end up much like Kanye in a sense, being his own worst enemy.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope nothing is seriously wrong with him, because he's had moments where you do wonder, like, if he's going through something mental.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if this is something mental or if this is something, you know, chemically, his brain has been chemically altered by drugs or whatever. But here's the other thing that kind of makes me view him as in kind of that Kanye parallel, because one of the issues with Kanye is he'll take the smallest slight and turn it into the biggest thing, whether it's, you know, Taylor Swift or whether it's the fashion industry. You know, he'll take something that, like, yeah, man, it sucks that these fashion people don't want to, you know, do business with you. But you know what? You're rich enough and you're talented enough to go in and do this your own way.
Yeah.
But instead of doing that, we get, how, Sway? You ain't got the answer, Sway. And with Kat, it's like, yeah, you might feel some type of way that Kevin Hart is in the spot that you think you should have been in. And yeah, it probably sucks that you're not being offered the roles that Kevin Hart is. But that doesn't mean that you can't be out here making money. But it's like he kind of like Kanye with fashion. Kat is so fixated on this one enemy that really isn't, like, Kevin Hart is not actively out here trying to destroy Cat Williams.
Yeah, not at all.
It's like, come on, Cat. Like, short comics got to stick together, man.
They do. There's only so many of them.
Only so many. But yeah, Cat Williams is, I like, the funniest joke and the most realest joke that Cat Williams ever told was I don't know if you saw the special where he compared black people to tigers in cages.
No, I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, I don't even remember the. I think it might have been called as Pimpin'. It was something pimp. Pimp this, pimp that. But he was like, you know, being a black man in America is like being a tiger in a zoo. Like, you know, every day you around some fake habitats and they look kind of real, but they ain't really real. And sooner or later you get to doubting who you really are. And I don't even feel like a tiger today. Everybody says I'm a tiger, but I don't think I'm a tiger. Maybe I'm just a vicious koala bear. Did you ever ponder that? And then he's like, but what every tiger and every real black man is waiting is for one opportunity for somebody to give him one shot. He's like, I wish a nigga would test me today. And he's like, talking about that guy in San Francisco that jumped over the tiger cage.
Oh.
He's like, he's been waiting his whole life in captivity to get a shot to show you how real he is. And when your fresh meat ass hop over that cage, it's over.
That tiger went tighter.
Yeah, so Cat Williams, get yourself together, man, because, you know, the comedy game needs you, man. And we can't be out here being an idiot and assaulting women and beating up cashiers and just being an idiot, because that's going to keep you off the stage, man.
Yep.
Well, real quick, speaking of stage, before we move to the next topic, Marcus, do you think this challenge gets accepted or do you think Kevin Hart just continues to ignore him?
Kevin Hart continues to ignore him.
Or, in true wrestling fashion, will he send the plastic cup boys and make Cat William run the gauntlet?
What a transition.
Hey, you know, it just comes to me sometimes. And, of course, what Marcus is speaking about is another one of the people from our childhood passing away way before its time. And we're speaking of Lee Rerman, better known to you guys out there as Hawk from American Gladiators. Rerman passed away at the age of 49, in Manhattan Beach, California. And yeah, it's a sad day. Like, Lee Rerman's not a superstar, but if you grew up watching American Gladiators, you certainly knew Hawk. If you watched shows like Roller Jam, he was a part of that. He's appeared on The X-Files. He's appeared on Gilmore Girls.
Oh, wait. Let's see here. Which episode? Oh, he's a doorman. I couldn't pick him out.
He was on Leverage. He was on Prison Break. He did a voice for Regular Show. He was on Workaholics. And most recently, he was in The First Family, which, if you don't know what The First Family is, it's Byron Allen's show starring Christopher B. Duncan, who was Braxton from the Jamie Foxx show, as a President Obama lookalike, or like basically
how are you saying this with a straight face?
They should have called him President Obama, because on the show his name is President Johnson. It's like, nigga, we know you're Barack. But basically it's not a good show. But Lee Raymond was one of the security guards on the show. I'm like, you know what? It ain't the best show in the world, but this man stayed getting checks. I ain't mad at you, Hawk.
Not only that, graduated from Cornell, Ivy League, and got his MBA through UCLA. Smart dude.
Yeah, smart dude, not just muscle. And you kind of have to be smart for him to, because it would be very easy for someone in his position who kind of gained fame early with a show like American Gladiators to kind of fall off and just kind of end up just being a personal trainer for the rest of his life. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but think about it, Marcus. How many other American Gladiators do you know that are out there still, you know, in Hollywood and doing TV and film?
He's got to be the only, outside of the host.
Yeah, like, Saber had his little spot in Mortal Kombat. I ain't seen Saber in a movie since.
Looking at the list here, let me see if anyone. Well, the easy way is to check. See who has a Wikipedia page, and then that'll help narrow it down.
Like Ice, whatever happened to Ice? There was a deaf. What was the deaf girl? Siren.
Oh, that's right.
Siren. The Deaf Gladiator.
Malibu. Do you remember Malibu?
Malibu.
I don't remember Malibu.
No.
He's had an acting career. He was in Mortal Kombat.
Okay, he's probably in there with Saber. They probably got the Mortal Kombat discount.
Let's see. Who else has a Wikipedia page here?
Is Nitro still out there?
Looks like Zap. Zap did some acting. Yeah.
Zap was my favorite. Because Zap, every now and then, Zap would just snap and like actually start swinging on the contestants.
Zap was in something called Penitentiary 3. That doesn't sound family friendly. Also, something called Skin Deep.
Okay.
What is this? Let's see. Oh, John Ritter was in Skin Deep. Okay. All right.
Oh, that's been a while then.
Let's see.
Because it looks like with Hawk, and he was also in The Last Action Hero. From 1992 until he passed, he'd been working steady. He's had at least like one project almost every year. He was on an episode of That's So Raven.
Underrated show, by the way. Let's see. Lace appeared in Playboy.
Okay.
And Star Search. So that's and Penthouse.
Playboy and Star Search.
So she's been all over the place. But yeah, I mean, in terms of resumes, it's Hawk and everyone else.
Yeah. Like my man was in Star Trek Into Darkness. Like, granted, he was just playing like a soldier.
Here we go. Found a wrestling connection.
He was in Race to Witch Mountain.
Do you remember Dallas?
Dallas. The girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dallas was signed by the WWF in 1999.
Really? So whatever happened?
Never made it on television, but she got released the same day as Nicole Bass and Ryan Shamrock.
Oh, Nicole Bass. It was a strange time for the WWE.
Yeah.
He was in the Bratz movie. Go ahead, Hawk. Get your money, Hawk. He started as the assistant principal in the Bratz movie. then raced to Witch Mountain with The Rock. Yeah, good for you, man. He kept getting that money. Kept getting them checks. So yeah, his first professional acting appearance was as an unnamed foot player in 92 on an episode of Columbo, and he worked steady Columbo. Until he passed. Yeah, he started on Columbo, man. How many people from Columbo still working?
Not many. Who else is still alive from Columbo?
That's a good question. Oh, Columbo. Yeah, man. Because Columbo died in 2011.
Yeah. I mean, considering, I don't know. I don't know why I pictured or why I expected Hawk to be older, because I think in my head, The Gladiators was so long ago that I expected everyone on that show to be like in their 50s and 60s by now, but he's only 49. Yeah. He's Undertaker.
He's only born in 66, yeah. So
he was only in his early 20s or mid-20s when he was on the show.
Yeah, Gladiators, man, it was, even though they tried to do the reboot a couple years ago with Hulk Hogan, like, you can't beat the original Gladiators. Like, it was the perfect combination of cheesy, but it was real. My issue with the new show that they did was that the competition didn't feel real. They felt more like pro wrestling. Whereas the old Gladiators, yeah, it was cheesy, but they were out there, like, especially, what was the game?
The last one?
I'm thinking about the football game.
Oh, with the two things on the, yeah, you have to run to the baskets?
It was a football one, and then you had to run, wrestle.
Let's check the Wikipedia. When in doubt.
Remember? I think it was Breakthrough and Conquer.
Let's see.
Because the first, it was some weird game where, like, the first part of the
game. Yeah, it was Breakthrough and Conquer.
Yeah, Breakthrough and Conquer. You had to run through and see if you could get past them to the end zone, and then the second part was you had to wrestle them in a ring. Yeah, like those, Powerball was a good game.
Powerball.
Like, those games felt like, yeah.
That was my favorite.
Damn, what was the one where they were in the little sphere, and you had to roll the roller cage?
Oh, yeah. Rocket? No, that wasn't it. I'm looking at the list now. You had to, like, get your ball up on top of that.
Yeah, and then smoke would come up?
Yeah.
It's
Atlasphere.
Atlasphere, yeah. Atlasphere, the Gauntlet. Joust. What was the one where you had to run and they were shooting at you
with the guns?
Yeah,
that was part of the Eliminator, right?
No, the Eliminator was the final one. I know what you're talking about, but this was something else. It was because you had to run and like they were sitting up there shooting the tennis ball.
Wasn't all that part timed? It was like you had. Let me see. This is where YouTube comes in handy.
Yeah, because every time they had a stop where you could, like, each weapon got progressively weaker. Like, you started with the rocket launcher, then you went to the little gun, then you had the bow and arrow.
Yeah, tennis balls.
Then it was just tennis balls to throw at them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Gladius was the best. I don't even remember the name of that. Now I'm gonna be stuck all day until we figure out what these events were.
Let's see. And if you're too young to remember the American Gladiators, just check YouTube.
Yeah, it still holds up. I was watching some Gladiators because when you sent me the link to tell me Hawk had passed, I started watching Gladiators and checking it out on YouTube and seeing some. Oh, the assault.
Oh yeah.
The assault. Rocket launcher, crossbow, the ball rifle, and then just the slingshot, and then just the little tennis balls at the end. Oh, man. But, yeah, like, the game still holds up.
I'm surprised in the world we live in terms of people just copying ideas why the show hasn't come back for a third time.
And I think, like, the other show, like, the show with Hulk Hogan and Layla Ali, I think it could have worked, but they tried to do it too big, if that makes any sense, Mark.
Yeah.
Like, they tried to make it this big spectacle live on, I think.
It was NBC?
Yeah, on NBC, like Thursday nights or Tuesday nights, something like that. like right after the Biggest Loser. Like,
it's just Saturday morning.
That's Gladiators needs to be on Saturday. Syndication, yeah. Swing Shot, The Wall. Human Cannonball was great.
Actually, if the network wanted a show,
WWE Gladiators,
Ryback, poor Titus O'Neil would have to take part in it.
Your man Braun Strowman.
Yeah, he's the wall, literally.
Skytrack was my game though. That was.
Was that where you had to bike across the? You were like. Using your upper body strength to get across the...
Skytrack was the one. Remember where they had like a race car track, but they were upside down.
They had to
like run upside down on the racetrack.
Who thought of this stuff?
Like these are some pretty cool games. Like, yeah. I remember there was a video game.
Yeah, there was. I had it.
On Nintendo, American Gladiators.
Yeah. Doesn't hold up.
No, not like the show. The show holds up, the game not so much. But yeah, you know, one of my favorite things about American Gladiators, though, Marcus, besides Hawk and some of the other gladiators, is
Larry Zonka.
Larry Zonka was the best. Larry Zonka and Mike Adamly, as much as people joke on his WWE run, Mike Adamly was good on American Gladiators. Like, he was perfect for that type of show.
Yeah.
Like, he brought. Him and Zonka, I think, brought kind of a gravitas to this crazy world.
They made it sound legit.
Yeah, like it was a legit sport. Like Zonka, like, well, you see, he's got to run past here, and then he can get to the breakthrough. Is this nigga really diagramming American Gladiator plays?
Yeah.
But the reason, my favorite thing off American Gladiators, which ends up kind of being sad in the end, but for a time, it was amazing, was Gladiators, to me, Marcus, had one of the most dominant athletes in the history of sports.
Who's that?
You know, this man is just as dominant as Tiger Woods was in golf, or Jordan was in basketball, or Gretzky was in hockey. Of course, I'm talking about Wesley Two Scoops Barry.
Oh, boy, your boy.
Two Scoops, the greatest, like, I dare you. I dare anybody out there that's like, oh, man, Nate's just making stuff up. He just, because he remembered it from his childhood. He's trying to blow it up bigger than it was. Go on YouTube and look up Wesley Two Scoops Barry and see how this man dominates the Gladiators.
And who's he dominating now, Nate?
His
who's dominating Two Scoops, Nate?
Yeah, his son. Because, the sad part of the story, while Two Scoops was probably the greatest contender in Gladiators history, not only was he an American Gladiators champion, but they flew him overseas and he was the international Gladiators champion. Wesley Barry is currently the penitentiary champion because he was arrested on robbery charges, which is terrible. Like, in my mind, Wesley wasn't doing it just for the money. Like, in my mind, he was trying to feed his family. That's the only reason Two Scoops could turn evil.
Trying to see if he's still in jail.
Because he was all about the kids. Like, whenever he would get on there, he's like, I'm just doing this for the kids, everybody. Start your day with two scoops of breakfast. Like, you know what? I'm gonna eat two bowls of cereal. Maybe I can be like Two Scoops.
Found this brother post from 2005. Has an athlete ever dominated a sporting event in such a manner that Wesley Two Scoops Barry dominated American Gladiators? Imagine yourself playing one-on-one with Michael Jordan in his prime. Then thoroughly dominating him, dunking on him, and shooting J's in his face all day. That's what Wesley did to the American Gladiators.
It was true, though. Like, it was true. Like, if you look at the Powerball, when they got a run, like, whenever they started, you would see, because it would be, like, two contenders and then four gladiators. And the object was to run and put the ball in the little hoops. There would be, by the time the game started, you know, the Gladiators trying to play zone defense. By the end of the game, it's four Gladiators on Wesley Two Scoops Barry, and he still scored.
Now, we've talked about the prison thing. Have we talked about his Locked Up cameo?
No, he was on Locked Up.
He was on Locked Up. This is posted in 2005. Two Scoops sure is still in prison. I was watching an episode of Locked Up on MSNBC, and I saw him on there. I guess he did not want his face to be seen. So they only showed his profile view. He was doing the same thing he did well on the street, organizing, running the show. I've seen this one. This is the episode that featured, was it Too Short? No. One of the Bay Area rappers that arrested.
And he was DJ Quick?
No, it was someone who had like a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
And
it was this Locked Up Celebrity Edition?
Shit, this is gonna bug me. Let's see. Locked Up San Quentin.
Damn it, Two Scoops. Right. My question though, Marcus, how did the police catch him?
That's a good question.
He must have been sleeping and they went up in his house. Because if he was awake and out there on the street, ain't no way you catch Two Scoops. Did they call in the gladiators to catch him? Like, the only way to catch a contender is with a gladiator. Somebody get me Nitro. But yeah, like he regularly on the regular made the gladiators look like idiots.
We gotta find this episode of Locked Up.
Because that was one of the saddest things in the first year of the Kings of Sport. Because I remember, you know, we were coming up with lists of guests and people we wanted to have on the show. I was like, man, you know who would be really cool to have on the show? Two Scoops.
Well,
and then once we started looking it up, it's like, I don't think we're going to have Two Scoops on the show anytime soon.
Looks like you went to jail way back, at least in 2005, for 10 to 20. It's been 11 years since. Maybe he's out. Maybe we can still.
Scoops might be out.
Might be free.
Scoops had a hard life because I don't know if you remember like his first show. And the only reason I remember his first appearance on Gladiators is because I was watching the clips to see, you know, some old Hawk clips. But he had been walking down the street. This is like almost like a superhero story.
Mm-hmm.
And some gas tanker was like having problems at the gas station and it blew up. And he happened to be close enough walking on the sidewalk that he was like suffered third degree burns over half his body.
Huh.
And like they showed the way that like the surgery and everything. And they're like, this is how Wesley Berry looked 10 months ago. This is how Two Scoops looks today. And then ever since, like he went out there and dominated the gladiators, like this Negro is a real life superhero.
Interesting.
Turned into a super villain. I think the charges trumped up though. Cause they
super
said it was
villain.
They said it was armed robbery. I don't believe the Two Scoops need a gun to rob you.
We gotta see if he's out of jail.
The man could jump over a car.
Yeah.
All he had to do was run up on you and take your wallet and he'd be gone. You couldn't catch him. He's a legend in two games, like the American Gladiator game and the Robin game.
I'm surprised a network hasn't. If I had money, I would buy a network and just show all these shows from the 90s.
Oh, I thought you were going to say do a 30 for 30 on Two Scoops.
Oh, no, no, no.
What if I told you that sometimes the toughest gladiator to beat is your own past?
Yeah.
Two Scoops Too Many, the Wesley Berry story on 30 for 30. Oh, man. But yeah, you would think, though, because Nickelodeon does something like that, which is pretty cool, where they've got a network where they rerun all the 90s shows.
Yeah, it's on Teen Nick or whatever in the evenings. I've been disappointed in that, though, because I was expecting more Double Dare and...
Mm.
Oh, did you see the other news about Nickelodeon this week?
Oh, was it at the Hornets game?
No, not that, but that was also interesting, too.
With Double Dare and your man Keenan and Kel?
No, the new movie that's coming straight to television?
No.
They're making a Legends of the Hidden Temple live-action TV movie.
Wow.
Olmec will be in a movie.
I like this show, but to me, my favorite show, because it was just Nickelodeon trying to hop onto the trend and
Nick Arcade.
Yes. Like Nick Arcade didn't make it. It didn't make any damn sense, but it was my favorite show.
Oh,
who's the host of Nick Arcade? Fillmore.
Yeah, what's he up to?
Phil Moore, yeah, because he got a name of the stupid. Nick Arcade, it's time to play the game.
Yeah, the most bootleg games, too. I never heard of these games before. I'm like, where did they find this stuff?
Nick Arcade. Oh, wow. Marcus, you would not believe what he's doing now.
Oh, no. He's still alive. Okay. No, I didn't.
Did you know that Let's Make a Deal has a live tour?
Oh, no. Is he the Wayne Brady villain?
Phil Moore is the Wayne Brady of the Let's Make a Deal live show.
Oh. I need to see the live show now.
I wonder if he's still singing the same damn song. Let's make a deal. It's not Wayne Brady.
Because Wayne Brady would. That's up his alley. Come on. Wayne would have killed for that dude. Let's make a deal. We have to. Maybe we get him on the show.
He was in Rosewood.
I found him. Phil Moore for you on Twitter.
Oh, we got to talk to Phil Moore.
And he's active on Twitter. He just tweeted like a minute ago. I'm going to send the tweet right now. I'm gonna do it. Let's just do it.
Yeah, we might have to holler at Phil Moore.
He only has 268 followers. So let's give this man a follow, number one.
That's a crime.
And then let me send him a tweet.
But yeah, you talk about those games on Nick Arcade. Terrible. Like, if you walked into a real arcade and those games were the only games available, you turn back around.
Yes.
It's like, where's Mikey going to go this time? Like, 90s shows. Like, yeah, there's a market for a network of 90s shows, particularly game shows. Like, talking about Gladiators, I forgot all the spinoffs that they had back in the day. Like, do you remember Battle Dome?
Yeah.
Battle Dome, who famously is famous for two reasons, Marcus. One, they had a feud with WCW, which resulted in an actual angle where the Steiner brothers invaded the Battle Dome arena.
I do remember that.
And two, Battle Dome gave us Terry Crews.
Oh, that's right.
He was T-Money, the streetwise player from Battle Dome. But there was also another one called Knights and Warriors, which was ridiculous.
That I don't remember.
Knights and Warriors was just like Gladiators, except where Gladiators, you know, Gladiators was kind of fun, but they still were kind of grounded as being a sport. Knights and Warriors kind of went the other way. They're like, you know what? These contestants have been transported to a medieval time. And then, like, there was like a witch that did put out the different challenges, and the gladiators were actual, like, dressing up like real Vikings and stuff. It was like, I'm not feeling this. And they tried to make their own Two Scoops with this, like, white dude who I think played in the CBA. And he was, like, quick and could jump and stuff, but they tried to make him their own Two Scoops, and it never really took off.
Huh. I feel like maybe that on YouTube, you know?
I haven't seen it for a while. Like, Knights and War, it was a big, I don't know what it was in the 90s. I think just because it was cheap program for syndication, like Gladiators and Knights and Warriors and Battle Dome and like shows like a Roller Jam, a Roller Games. Like, it's cheap programming that you can make merchandising off of. Because I remember Roller Games had a game on Nintendo, which was terrible.
Mm. By the way, I sent that tweet off to Phil. Yeah, I need to see this in person. Just to heckle them. Where's Mikey, Phil? What'd you do with Mikey?
You're like, that was a long time ago, brother. Stop bringing up old stuff.
Man.
No, I know what I'll tell you. Fuck off.
Listen, if you have a t-shirt company, I will buy a t-shirt with Mikey's face on it. Because no one would get the joke, but that one person who does the joke will just start laughing.
Yeah.
So.
It's super inside.
Super inside.
Whoever gets it, like they'll really enjoy.
Should be like should say which direction, and then have like Mighty Shrugging.
Yeah, I guess this whole thing was just to say rest in peace to a Hawk.
Yes.
Appreciate all the good memories, and I think more than anything, Marcus, I'm glad that like just kind of looking over his life, like dude never really seemed to be in a position where like, damn, whatever happened to that dude? Like, he had a steady job, he seemed happy. I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, that's all you can hope for.
Yeah, especially, I mean, with bodybuilders, you always worry about other issues in terms of possible steroids or just their hearts giving out, but rest in peace, Hawk.
Yeah, so that's the sad news, but at least like Marcus said, you know, you can go back on YouTube and check out all the great moments from Gladiators and some of the other work that he's done over the years. Because I know Marcus is going to go back and look at that Gilmore Girls scene over and over.
Yeah, one of my coworkers was actually an extra in Gilmore Girls. So
really?
Yeah. Don't worry, when it comes out, we're going to discuss it.
I mean, I mean me,
by myself.
I was going to say, because I might hit you with your boy, Mediterranean Foam, Mr. Telephone Man.
Fuck off. Now he's Mediterranean?
Yeah, he keeps changing. First he was Middle Eastern, then he was Mediterranean. Next week he'll be Jamaican.
I thought Indian, maybe.
He was, I got to give it to him, because he changed the whole tempo of the show.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'm going to blame him for the Skype issues in the ringside ramp, too.
There you go.
It was all his fault. He was getting back at Marcus by jamming our signal. So, yeah, Marcus, if the people out there want to hit you up this week and maybe get your opinions on UFC event this weekend, or if they just want to let you know about viruses and malware that is attacking your computer, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right. And will you be watching UFC this weekend?
I will be.
And I'm assuming you're going with Connor and Holm.
Nope.
In the two big matches?
Nope.
Oh, you're going for an upset. Who is what is your official prediction then, Marcus?
Connor and Cupcake.
Wow. So you think Misha Tate can pull this one off?
I do. Styles makes fights. I think Misha's style will give Holly some problems. And let's not remember, before everyone was on the Holly bandwagon, her first two UFC fights, she was not very impressive.
No, and she was a huge underdog going in that Rousey fight.
Yes, so it would not surprise me one bit if Holly lost on Saturday.
It's so much more exciting now, you know, that whole division, because now that Rousey has been dethroned, it's like, man, there's so many interesting ways this division could take shape. Because let's say Tate wins, like, do I think that Tate is going to be this dominant champion? No, I think any of the top 5 or 10 women in that division have a chance of knocking off any of the other one.
Yeah,
and that's exciting. So yeah, I think Conor's going to win. I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people are predicting, but I think Conor wins, and I'd like to see the upset, but I'm going to go with home for this one.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll talk about it next week. Hopefully there'll be some exciting fights and we'll have a good show. Speaking of next week, we've got a lot planned. We've got our road to WrestleMania that is continuing. Who knows? Maybe we'll hear back from your boy Phil Moore. You never know.
Let's hope so.
But in the meantime, in between time, you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. You can follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. What else? iTunes, Stitcher. Check out the YouTube channel. There's not a whole lot on there, but, you know, check it out anyway. podcastland.com. Vote for us for podcast of the month. We should have got it for February for Black History Month, but that's okay, people. We're not mad. You know, it's like Stephen A. Smith said, man, racism is over and white people got hard times too. So, you know, whenever we are podcast of the month, it'll be a great day. But yeah, I think that's going to be it. It was a fun show. It was a great show. Again, shout out to John Pollock and Wei Ting from the Fight Network for joining us this week. And we hope that you guys join us next week for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The Kings of Sport. So unless you got anything else, Marcus, we're gonna call it a show.
That's all I got.
All right. So for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Gladiators ready. Contenders ready. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.